Day FM.
It's that time of the week again, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the Dermot and Dave Show Best Of podcast. But not if you're driving. Definitely don't sit back. In fact, sit up now.
Dermot, baby, hold on, I'm gonna never, never let you down. Don't you know? Things will change. Things will go. Things will go that way. If you hold on for one more. Does this infringe copyright? Like, if I just sang that, this is the podcast intro, I, like, does that mean we now need to seek clearance for our podcast from Wilson Phillips?
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to do it. We're going to live on the edge and we're going to get sued.
No, over 30 seconds.
Well, that wasn't 30 seconds. That's fine.
So sing it for 30 seconds and then we have to get permission.
Is that the law? You can use music for less than 30 seconds.
There's no way Sean knows that.
I did.
You did know it.
Get over on the microphone there and prove your legal status. So you think 30 seconds of music on any podcast is fine?
You do it in, you do it, I learned it in college and I also learned it in a legal training day. We had to do here.
What about a clip from a TV show?
See, that's muggy because when I did it...
Sean's eating roses at the same time.
Can't, we can't cope with people eating on microphones.
Let's wait until he's finished.
Clip from
TV. No, get out. he's got caramel barrel mouth noises. Amazing.
Anyway, we'll take your word. No, come back to us when you stop smacking your lips together.
I'm not eating anymore. Clip for a TV show is, you used to have to get permission.
Yeah.
But that's changed now because of social media. Because the unwritten rule is that if you put it out on social media, you're putting it out to the masses so they can use it.
But they're not putting it. What if it's just on the telly and we record it and go, ha ha ha, listen to this? Or, oh my God.
We're supposed to ask for permission and pay for that.
Right, well, we've never done that in our lives, so sue us if you want, television networks.
No, I think on radio it's different.
I have to just give Pam the phone.
Oh, Sean's going to. So we have a phone that's very important from show to show. We are the worst team at handing it over. Sorry, Pam.
And we never charge it properly.
No.
Anyway, loads on the show for this podcast. We hope you're all well. Remember, you are the special ones for seeking out the best of. And for that, we give you big hugs.
I think I am a special one. I am a Spurs special one. Did you see this the headline the other day? Ole 2, special 1. Ha! Very good.
Well, you got to enjoy those little victories when you get them because it doesn't happen very often, Dave, and no. Man United fans.
5 wins this season, that's
fine. Maria's just sauntered in. Hi, Maria.
Hi.
Maria, your cardigan is camo.
It's camo and lepo.
Camo lepo.
Camo cardigan. So, like, you're an adventurer. But you're cozy at the same time.
Yeah.
Cozy adventure.
Maybe she's a militia. Why do you think she's an adventurer? Maybe she's trying to take down the government.
Oh my God, I had a Cracker Barrel there the other day. It was malicious.
What Cracker Barrel?
I don't know. I tried to say.
And malicious is a different word than militia.
Oh, guys, such great guys.
Guys, wait, my wife has just WhatsApped me. This is obviously very important. Thumbs up! Yes!
Yes.
Yeah.
The STI results are positive. So on this podcast, it's obviously not as good as other weeks because I was sick for 2 of the days.
It's so much better.
Although Ziz's Christmas party dress being robbed. Tragedy on the Lewis.
Poor Ziz.
Appalling. James Bond coming to Shannon Airport.
Oh, see, you were missing this.
Yeah,
see,
I missed that.
It was so good content. So good content. And then we found out about the Shannon illegal duty-free nights. Yeah. Like, you know any of this.
Oh,
you missed out on all.
Sorry you weren't there.
But listen back in the podcast, Dermot. You'll love it.
I was too busy thinking about the MRI scan I got on my golf swing.
Yeah, it's as boring as it sounds. Yeah,
it's better than that. And also, bingo being cancelled, but then reinstated.
Yeah, we had to go back and cover it again yesterday because they reinstated it in the end.
And is the Irishman any good? Be interesting to see which side of the camp you fall down on when you listen to the podcast. If you listen all the way through.
I'm sure they will because it's about less than a third as long as The Irishman. So I think you'll be all right.
Yeah, and that's it. And we haven't CGI'd our faces but still walk around like old men like in The Irishman.
We are the age that they tried to CGI him back to.
Why didn't they just do Marvel on it and just CGI all of him? Like just CGI all of Robert De Niro.
Well,
instead of leaving an old man Robert De Niro having to fight.
With a young man, Robert De Niro face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't they just do his whole body? They're good enough now.
Maybe it's
then they could have had him leap up in the air over the building
and steal that glove off Thanos.
It'd have been New Avenger, Captain America, Hawkeye, the other guys, Spider-Man.
He's the guy who likes them
and
all.
Robert De Niro.
Yeah. And he doesn't even get a special name.
Yeah, he just called his own actual
Robert De Niro.
Actor name.
Yeah, I'm going to kill him, yeah.
Wow, that's better than my special one impersonation. Enjoy the podcast, lads.
See you. We should point out that neither Dave nor me have seen it. Nor I.
Yeah, Dave nor I. Dave nor I.
Thanks, Grammar Man. Irishman, what would we do without you?
Irishman was brilliant, says one text. Another one says, the Irishman is a masterpiece, not a shot wasted. It's brilliant. If you can say that about a 3.5 hour movie, it's not a shot wasted, well then it must be pretty impressive.
You can't start off, lads, talking about the Irishman and then straight into Say Yes to the Dress. Yeah, it's like critiquing Jamie Oliver's restaurant and next talking about McDonald's.
That's the joy of our show. It's exactly what you can do.
Well, neither of us have seen Yes to the Dress either.
No, that's
just
true.
We're just being informed.
That's, I agree, Maria. It was horrendous. Robert De Niro's face at the start annoyed the heart of me. At some stages it looks like Polar Express. And Dermot, you're a man who loves an Avengers movie, and you're giving out saying no movie should be 3 hours long. The last two Avengers films were nearly 3 hours each.
Except for the Avengers.
See, I could also say, except for Lord of the Rings extended cut, three movies in a row, took me 9 hours in the cinema, never been happier.
Yeah, I still think it's unnecessarily long, but I suppose if you feel very passionate about Marvel, like I am, you'll tolerate it, probably enjoy it. Same for you, Lord of the Rings. If you're a Scorsese fan, you think, wow, 3.5 hours has got to be better than an hour and a half.
John's on the phone. Hey, John.
What's the crack?
Did you watch it?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant movie altogether.
Did you find it was too long?
No. Not at all. Time wouldn't be long passing by when you watch it because you get so stuck into it. Like, and there's a constant story being pushed on it. Like.
Yeah. A lot of people are complaining that even though their faces were young, their bodies moved like old men.
Yeah, that was a bit strange, right? There was one point there where Robert De Niro was kicking a guy on the ground and it was supposed to be about 40, but it was totally obvious that he was like a stiff old 8-year-old man, you know?
Maybe that's just the way he beat people up in his 40s was really stiff and slow.
Yeah.
You're certainly not alone in your opinion. There's lots of people texting in saying it was absolutely amazing, but then there are also people going in, like someone says, it's absolute dung, and someone else says, I give it minus 10 out of 10, which is ridiculous. Oh.
Way better than the Joker or anything like that. I think anyway, I thought the Joker was useless.
Did you love Goodfellas and Casino and all these ones?
Godfather and all that, yeah. Brilliant. They're epic movies, like, and this is probably the last one you'll get to see of something like that. They won't be making movies like that anymore.
Do you think, John, that it's for people like you who loved those, like, are really passionate about, don't mean just enjoy them, but like really passionate about those style of Scorsese movies, would love this, and that most people wouldn't? Or can you see that point of view?
Maybe. I suppose, arguably, but it's just if you're into movies anyway, like, I think, you know?
Mm.
Like, look at Martin Scorsese and look at all the movies he's made. There's probably maybe two or three at most that are probably unwatchable.
Two or three, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'd be interested to see, what was that film that was out a while ago with Brad Pitt in it?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen that at all. No, yes.
Because that was another one of these films that a lot of people went, oh my God, nothing happened. What's happening?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I watched it and actually really enjoyed it, even though it's kind of long and really slow paced.
Mm.
But I think it depends on your attention span a lot of the time as well, or whether you have any, your patience levels, you know? Some people like bang, 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 things happening, like an Avengers film or something. Something a bit slower than might throw them.
You wouldn't mind if it's long, if you kind of get captivated and you can actually keep it keeps the eyes open, like, and it keeps you entertained. But like, the Joker wasn't entertaining. I nearly fell asleep in the cinema to that. Like,
but then Maria fell asleep during The Irishman. So I've seen a circular argument here. Is what I'm seeing.
She watches programs about dresses. So I watch programs about cars. You know?
Yeah, fair enough, I suppose.
So what would you give it out of 10?
Oh, definitely a 10, definitely.
Yeah?
100%.
Well, you know what? Yeah. You've inspired me to go and watch it now, because all the negativity I was hearing coming in today, You've made me feel. Sean's giving me gestures, but yeah, I'm going to watch it based on your recommendation.
And lads, I saw you doing the opera, so I have to give you a tin as well. Perfect.
Ah, thanks, John. Oh,
thank you,
gentlemen. We had great.
Although
fun
if this movie's terrible, then we'll know your taste. You know it's terrible as well.
John, fair play to you.
Good luck.
See you later. Bye bye. It's John and Cork there. Did you watch The Irishman? Have you got an opinion? 087-4100-102. Or is there such a thing as too long of a movie? You know, if somebody told me there was a 10-hour cut of Fellowship of the Ring, I'd watch it.
Although it's funny, you know, because when you think about how we watch television, and you know, we binge watch, and you know, like an hour can go so quickly, and then you see the end credits, and you're like, "Oh God!" and you can't wait to jump on, and you'll sit through three episodes of something
happily,
yeah, kind of feeling like the breaks are a nuisance. But then when a film comes along that's 3 hours or 3.5 hours, people like me seem to get worked up about it.
Well, maybe that's how they should do these movies. Then they should do them. And then on the streaming service, go the credits just come up and go, lads, this is the end of episode one. Just go to the toilet and make up tea. And you come back in, hit play. Like, you could do it that way.
And you know when you're into something like that's really exciting, even the, whatever, 6 or 7 seconds that it has, you know, the next episode will begin in.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the longest time of your life. You're like, come tick faster, will you? It's only a few seconds. Okay, let's talk about bingo, yeah, because there will be bingo and spot prizes happening today outside the Dáil. Players from around the country are going to gather at Leinster House to highlight their opposition to new gambling laws being introduced this week. The Gambling and Lotteries Bill will see any prize money from bingo reduced to 50% of the funds collected by operators. So basically this will cut back on huge jackpots and potentially threaten the rollovers that you see. And that's how they manage to get so big over time, are these rollovers you'd see in bingo halls or indeed in GAA clubs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So the Save Our Bingo campaign group, which is organising this protest and who will all be playing bingo outside today, cold day for the Al Bingo, says every bingo hall in the country will be negatively affected. So I have never gone to a bingo, but Maria, you being a new culchie down in Offaly.
I don't think they like that.
What?
Culchie.
I'm a culchie. I don't mind being called a culchie. In fact, I'm proud of my culchie roots.
He just ate an entire dinner at 8:50. I've never seen anything more culchie in my life.
I just had boiled spuds before 9, so I think I'm still a card carrying culchie.
Don't confuse it with cultured. This is culchie, okay?
Anyway, down in Edenderry, every Sunday afternoon, is it? Or
it's
evening?
Sunday evening.
Okay, so all the locals, and it's not just the grannies, not just the silver-haired brigade.
There's a huge range of ages that go to bingo. In Edenderry in particular. Now I know Johnny told me his nana used to go, she used to have somewhere around the locality for bingo for every day of the week. So she used to get on a bus and go to Carberry for the bingo on a Monday night, or you know, the bingo in Edenderry is on a Sunday night, or I don't know, she'd go to Road on a Wednesday or whatever.
Like, at what point does that become kind of quirky cute granny and slide into a bingo addict? Like, well, we always assume when you look at a granny or a, you know, a granddad sitting at bingo that they're immune to addiction to gambling because they're just there for the cups of tea.
And the chat and the socialisation.
Yeah, I would suggest that maybe if you're traveling on a bus 7 days a week to get to your next session that you have an issue.
Do you know what it is? It's not even the cups of tea, it's the bags of boiled sweets. It's the Pick-a-Mix.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah,
that was
them
one
there.
Of my favourite things. You can buy them there. They have little shops, or you come prepared. You have your own bag of sweets and you offer them to everybody on your own. You're like, oh, a sherbet. Stop it, Mary. You're spoiling me.
So come here.
To Mary doing lines of sherbet off her bingo card. Okay, actually, let's jump to the phone because we got Deirdre Doherty, who is spokesperson for the Save Our Bingo campaign, and she is one of the organisers who will be playing bingo outside Leinster House today. How are you, Deirdre?
Hang on one sec there for Deirdre till I hit a button. Sorry about this. Deirdre should be there now. Deirdre, hi.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. How are you?
How are you?
How many bingo puns and jokes have you heard in over the last 24 hours? Like clickety click 66
outside Leinster House.
Yeah.
So come on, like I presume the government, in their defence, didn't set about going, hey, do you know what we should do today? We should destroy bingo for old people in particular. Like this seems to be something that's just kind of caught in the crossfire a little bit.
Yeah, what is happening is all this, the bill that's coming out has been done on the hush-hush. Nobody has actually heard about it. None of the TDs have heard about it, which is very, very strange until last night when they started getting emails and calls about it. The opposition haven't heard anything about it because Breed Smith was on last night to one of the people that work for the company that I go to. Basically, what's happening is they're taking away the money. Half the prize fund is gone. Let me stress, it's not about the prize money at all. It's about the social aspect of it. And it's not just your old people. It's people from 18 upwards that go to bingo in this country.
But if it's
we'll not be able to do it. And the halls have stressed to me, especially the ones I go to, it won't be viable for them to stay open.
Why is that? If you say it's not about the money, and because the money seems to be the thing that's being targeted here, that the prize money can't be any more than 50% of the taking at the venue on the day. Why, if it's not about the money, then why does that affect how a bingo hall can stay open?
It's because, especially the one I go to, I'm only the spokesperson really for the people that go to the bingo. I don't actually speak for Jackpot's Bingo. I've just been told what way it would affect the money, our money and whatever. But what I've been told is they have overheads and whatever like that as well to pay. They have people's wages and jobs and stuff like that to take into account.
It sounds like they might be just concerned that if the jackpots aren't attractive enough, then people aren't going to go. And that seems to be the reality of it, isn't it?
It means that even the likes of the little bingos will be closing. They won't have the funds to stay open.
But this is what I'm trying to understand is, like, if what they're proposing is they're reducing the prize give out. That's money that comes in and then goes to the players.
Yeah.
And if they're reducing that, then does that not mean there's more money for the people who run the bingo?
No, there isn't. The money, I've been told, I've just been on another radio station a few minutes ago. I've been told that half of that money is basically, we used to get, the prize fund used to be 75%.
Percent,
yeah.
Right.
It's gone down to 50. Now, I know 40% of that, the other 40% now, is going to the government to do whatever they want with it.
Oh, to the
whether
government?
It's to go to whatever. Yes.
Oh, so they're dipping their hands into the prize pot, essentially. And
I don't know what they're going to be doing with it, but that's where, whether they're going to give it to charity, which I've been told by one of your competitors this morning, but I don't know if that's true or not. I've just been told that by a researcher.
Right.
But I don't know if anything else has happened. But what we're worried about is basically more the social end, that people won't have anywhere to go if they decide to pull out of different venues around the country. That the people that actually play bingo will not have anywhere to go. The little ones will close for certain because they won't have that, even that amount. The little rural ones, the ones that are in GAA halls, that are, you know, that everybody goes to maybe twice a week and stuff like that. It's a social outlet they've lost in this country. We've lost a lot of things due to different aspects of, you know, what's going on in the country already. The pubs close and rural pubs and everything like that. The people will not have anywhere to go, and that's what I'm worried about.
And tell us about today, what you've got planned outside the Dáil.
Well, apparently what they're doing is they're leaving where we go to bingo, which is in Whitehall, mm-hmm. at 9:30. They're going in, they'll be in there for 10:30. They are going to play a few games of bingo outside the Dáil, and then they're protesting after that.
And is it true there's bingo buses coming?
I'd say there is. I don't know what buses they're using, but apparently there might be bingo buses. I'm not sure. You can't, don't quote me on that.
Right, okay.
I can't tell you. Like, all I know is that I'm actually doing a lot of interviews for radio and stuff like that.
So will you not get to play bingo outside the doll?
No, I don't think
dear,
so.
That's a shame.
No, because I'm actually, you're my second radio interview today, and I've done an interview for the TV already this morning.
Wow, you are now a media celebrity. It's all gone to your head, clearly, Deirdre. I mean, suddenly the flash clothes and the new watches, and it's just ridiculous. There should be prizes for bingo. You shouldn't be wearing them all. Deirdre, great to talk to you, and best of luck with it. It's obviously, there's a lot of grey area involved in this and a lot of things that need to be cleared up. And I think it is definitely the onus now on the legislators and the representatives in the government to come forward and say, this is exactly what's going to happen. This is where the money's going. And this is exactly why we're doing it.
They need to actually clear up a lot of things, because the people are involved, even the workers don't know what's going on in the halls. We don't know, the players don't know what's going on. Very much, we don't know a lot that's going on regarding the amendment and the bill. All we're told is it's the last thing tomorrow in the doll.
Okay, we'll definitely find out. We'll get some clarity on it as soon as we can. Deirdre, thanks so much. That's Deirdre Doherty, their spokesperson for the Save Our Bingo campaign. And
who was on her way to another interview, I believe.
She may possibly have been, yes.
Somebody, please talk to her agent, please.
I've never been to bingo. I went into bingo. Do you remember we used to train? We did white collar boxing, Dermot, you and I.
Yeah.
And it was in the National Stadium.
And I punched you in the face and your eyes watered.
You did, yeah, in my nose. We did that in the National Stadium. And then there was bingo in the National Stadium. I'm sure there still is bingo in the National Stadium. And then I needed to go to the toilet. I don't know, I needed to go in. I went into the bingo hall for some reason and got like the most accosted I've ever gotten anywhere. I don't know what it was. They wanted me to go up and announce a prize. That's what it was. So they said I was Dave from a radio station or whatever. And like, it took me 40 minutes to get out there taking selfies with people who were obsessed with the radio station. It was a great guy. And also, I know Glenn Hansard, when he won the Oscar for Falling Slowly in the song from the movie. And he went home, whatever, and he brought the Oscar home to his ma's house. And he's like, whatever. And then he came home one evening and he was like, where's ma? She's at bingo. And he goes, where's me Oscar? And she had brought the Oscar to bingo in a plastic bag to show off to her friends.
You see, that is why bingo is special.
Yeah.
You know, and there are so few things. As Deirdre correctly pointed out, a lot of our way of life, you know, has been cut away, be it just because of changes in our society. Our insurance has a lot to do with it. A lot of things that used to happen quite casually, these kind of casual gatherings in villages and towns around the country, have disappeared because of ridiculous insurance costs that spiral out of control and nobody seems to be able to do anything about it. So these kinds of things are really important. So I would guess, I don't think it's necessarily time to go kicking the government, because as I said at the start, I don't think they, you know, intentionally set out to just ruin bingo and stop old people meeting once a week or twice a week or
seven days a week
if you're living
Johnny's
in Offaly. But, you know, they need to do something, because, you know, communities need those kinds of things. They need focuses of attention where people can gather, and that doesn't revolve around booze as well, because it's quite a sober event, isn't it?
It revolves around hard-boiled sweets.
Yeah. And there, if you think about it, as a country, we are pretty terrible at organising events that aren't based around alcohol, when you think about the kind of stuff that we do. So these kinds of things are really, really important. And as she said, a load of people do it. It's like, it's not just old people as well.
No,
it's young people, and particularly Bingo Loco, which is this new phenomenon. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, because that potentially, because they have massive prize funds for those things.
Yeah. So, holidays and cars and everything.
Yeah.
I dare one of you to go into a bingo hall and sit on any seat and see the reaction when Maggie comes in, because it's her seat. It's not Pretty Lads.
Oh,
that exact
God.
Thing happened to you, didn't it?
Yeah, you can't sit in someone else's seat. You have to wait and see what seats are available and then ask, is this seat free?
So what?
Because then you'll be told, no, that's Seamus's seat. He sits there every week. He's just running a little bit late today.
But then could you make all the effort, get dolled up, make the journey on a bingo bus to your bingo thing and then find out that you can't play because there's no seats?
Well, I've never seen a situation where there was no seats.
Right.
But just there are certain seats that are people's seats and you do not sit in those people, because you just can't even enjoy the game of bingo. You're getting dagger eyes for the whole thing.
Oh God! Someone else says, "Lads, you haven't lived till you've attended a drive-in bingo. You don't even have to get out of the car; just tune it in on your radio and then beep your horn and wave your card out the window if you win."
That sounds like fun.
Oh, and amazing? Also, what was disappointing is you don't say. What do you think you say when you think you have all the numbers?
House.
You don't say house.
What?
Check.
Check.
Yeah.
That is disappointing.
I was all ready to shout house, and Johnny's mom was like, "No, Maria, you say check."
Why do they? Oh, do you know what that's like? It's like when you go to a Protestant mass, and you know when you're Catholic and you start standing up and sitting down at all the wrong times. You like gave away your non-bingo yeah. credentials there.
Yeah, I know.
Why don't they say bingo? What the hell?
I'd say it depends on the place. I'd say, you know, and location.
Yeah.
You know, in the UK, they probably shout all kinds of things. Brexit and stuff. Brexit. Oh my God, if the politicians learn nothing, you don't mess with the Grey Brigade.
Yeah.
And although Eamon in Waterford says, "Hey lads, easy on the silver hair there. I'm 60, grey hair and a Today FM listener for 22 years.
Glad to have you. Yeah. Not and Eamon, anyone off.
You know, truth be told, both of us are displaying little flecks of grey.
Oh, Dave's some salt more than and pepper others. Hair. Yeah, Dave's yeah, yeah. salt and pepper hair
I'm into
on
it.
Fire.
I'm dying for it to happen.
Did I say some more than mothers there? Or maybe. Some more than others?
We'll listen to you.
It is. It's the greatest gift. And I actually did it, so I know what I'm talking about.
I was about to buy it for you. Now I can't.
No, you can't, because I tried it out for other people. So okay. they could think. Okay. Heads up, a warning. It's to do with golf.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, hang on. There are a lot of people listening now who either play golf or know and love someone who plays golf and who's a golf nut like myself. Okay? Bear with me.
Okay, okay. No, I'll stick
and
with
even
you.
If you're not into golf, from a purely interesting and scientific level, you will enjoy this.
Oh, golf and science. Best Christmas present ever. Let's go.
I'm walking myself into a corner here. I'll tell you what I did, right? I got an MRI scan for my golf swing.
Oh my God.
I know a lot of you are thinking, just go for an MRI, just as a Christmas present.
On your head.
So, a lot of people who play golf, and anyone who has lived with someone who plays golf, knows that golfers like to complain that their swing isn't working the way they feel it should be.
Maria Johnny does that all the time.
Yeah?
He's a moaner about his swing, isn't he?
Sometimes he comes in and he goes, "I was an absolute embarrassment." And then he's in a bad mood for the rest of the evening.
We've all been there.
Okay.
And a lot of people spend a lot of money on getting golf lessons and never seem to improve. So what this is, right, it's a physio has teamed up with a golf pro. And together they do this thing, which is essentially an MRI scan for your swing. So what they do is, I went to it, right? They put these monitors on my limbs and on my torso and on my hips and my head. And then they get you to swing the golf club. And what you get then on, like, essentially a big iPad is a 3D avatar of your golf swing. You see your swing happening in 3D on the screen. So then they can check, the physio side of it kicks in. They can check all your mobility of your hips, your shoulders, how all the biomechanics of your body are working
okay.
in the swing. Before you go anywhere near the golf pro for the lesson, so he can go, "Look, you could get 50 lessons in a row, but the way your shoulder is, you're never going to improve until you sort that out."
This is like our chronomics thing we did with our DNA, whereas it's saying, because of the way you're built, this is what you should do to live longer. This is the same thing for your golf swing.
Yeah, so you could have like very little mobility in your hips, and that could be stopping you from hitting the ball properly, and you could get 1,000 golf lessons and never get any better. But the physio then gives you exercises to work on that specific part in your body that is problematic for you. And then you move on to your golf swing.
So you don't actually get into an MRI machine, because I did have an image of you holding a steel golf club and being slammed against the magnetic part of the MRI machine going, "This isn't working!" Oh, no, so hang on. So when you did it, did you make improvements over the period of time you were there, or do you have to work on something for weeks?
Well, no, I did the test and he looked at my mobility and said, "I'm actually in very good nick, and my body handicap is 4, which is good. Obviously in golf handicaps, the lower the number is, the better it is. My actual golf handicap is 11. So he said, there's no reason why you couldn't be playing off four. Your body says you can play to four if you can actually hit the ball a bit better.
But could it not crush your dreams? You'll never play off scratch. Like, your body won't let
I know
you.
I'm never going to play off scratch. Anyway, so then you're right beside the TrackMan, which is that computer golf simulator where whack a ball into the screen and on the screen you see a fake golf course. But it measures your club speed and the angle of impact and all the wonderful nerdy science parts of your golf swing. And so, you know, if people go to a driving range in a golf course, you over a couple of hours, you might hit a jumbo bucket of 120 balls.
Yeah, absolutely.
And come away feeling no better than you were. Just sore.
Frustrated.
Yeah. I hit 15 golf balls on that track, man.
Yeah.
And I put 20 yards on my 6-iron. I was hitting it like just under 160. And by the time I came out of there, I was hitting it 180. And I was hitting the ball 10 miles an hour faster.
Look, guys, I know this is the most fascinating conversation anyone's ever had in their life, but like, he's got 10 miles an hour faster on his golf swing. That's impressive.
Well,
are you taking the piss?
No, as in, like, it is the most boring thing in the world to hear a golf person talk about swing speed, but I understand how impressive that is to achieve in an afternoon.
Have you been to a golf course since?
No, I haven't had a chance to go out and practice it because I was minding my mom over the weekend. So, like, I'm a really good son and a beautiful person. So
important.
I had to do that.
Important.
But I'm bursting a gut to get back out and play now. So I want to say hi to Andy Watson, who is the physio.
Right.
And Dara Lernahan, who is the pro. And he's out.
Where do they do it?
Out in Bray Golf Club.
It's the only place you can do it?
At the moment, Bray Golf Club. So
you don't have to be a member of Bray Golf Club.
If you have a golfer in your house, that is, and I'm in no way connected to this, okay? Just in case. I just thought, as a golfer, it just answered so many. In 90 minutes, I learned more about my golf swing. Like, I'm worried now, though, because I don't have a lot to complain about. I can't blame it on a dicky shoulder or
down to
my
four.
Clubs. Or
The guys have just been on there. They've looked at my body handicap. 83. So that would explain where I am at my golf as well, in fairness. Dermot's World, let him talk about golf or he'll get ratty. Dermot was telling us about a golf MRI scan for his swing. And listen, a lot of people are into it, Dermot. I'm listening intently. I got my father-in-law for Secret Santee. What kind of price are we talking here? How much does it cost to someone else? Is it expensive? Is it automated bin expensive?
Yeah, not far off.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a couple of hundred quid.
A couple of hundred quid, all right. Yeah. Philip says, Jason, lads, my video would be a horror movie made in one swing. And someone else says, you can put that golf MRI scan in the same place as Dave's wife's Christmas bin.
I'm telling you, every golfer listening will be like, jeez, I wouldn't mind that now.
Well, can I put 20 yards on a 6-iron?
Oh, wow.
Dave's World. If we don't let him do it, he gets ratty.
Ross kicking things off today, and he says, oh, it's cold this morning, isn't it? I mean, I've been outside helping a guy in a black robe with a scythe clear the frost off his car. I think I've been de-icing with death. De-icing. So Stephen sent this joke late last week, and he said, Dave, my idea for a bad joke next Tuesday. I see Arsenal manager Unai Emery is going before the board. An Emery board. I'd say that'll be rough. And then he says, probably won't be funny or topical by next Tuesday. In fact, it's barely funny now.
I thought that was funny.
Emery, I love that one.
That was better than the first one.
Ali says, to ride a horse or not to ride a horse, that's equestrian.
Oh, come on. Slaps.
Okay, Dermot, you like this one? You like this one? Stephen says, what did Master Yoda say when he first saw himself in 4K resolution?
HDMI. Not enough HDMI gags in the world.
Sheila said this, what was Albert Einstein's rap name? MC squared.
It's just not funny.
Jack says, I saw a slide for sale with an 85 degree incline. It was €500. I thought, that's a bit steep.
What is this? A workman's club in the 70s? Get with the program.
Okay, there's a new Bond movie trailer coming out tomorrow for the new Bond movie. So yeah. Tony's got a Bond joke for
Excellent.
You. Latest Bond movie idea, 007 is tasked with infiltrating VAR to stop it ruining football as we know it. Working title, GoldenEye. GoldenEye!
Oh,
Fergus says, I sat next to an insurance salesman at a Robbie Williams gig last night. Through it all, he offered me protection. Peter says, this is a conversation between two people. One of them is Willy Wonka, the other one is Charlie. Wonka says, congratulations, Charlie. My chocolate empire is yours. Charlie says, that's incredible. Wonka says, now the first thing will be handling this PR crisis. Wait, what, says Charlie? Well, a lot of kids have just died in your factory, Charlie. And apparently you own some slaves. Stephen says,
he rescued those Oompa Loompas.
Stephen says, if I had to rate our solar system, I'd give it 1 star.
Ooh, clever. Can we just have that on a button? There's so many of these are people finish typing them and then push their chair back and fold their arms in pride.
Nordy Al says, I asked the librarian where I can find the book on childbirth. She said, over there in the C section.
See, that's funny and clever.
It is. Jackie says, if I die and come back as a hillbilly, is that reincarnation? Very topical joke here from Paul. And he says, will the new Dublin white water rafting course be known as the Bleeding Rapids?
It should be.
Gaz says, what do you call a Scottish snooker player? Chalk McHugh.
Chalk McHugh.
Like that, like you'd hear that on the playground.
Jeff says, what's your favourite position in bed? Mine's near the wall so I can use my phone while it's charging. And Colin says, hi all, I'm in A&E at the minute. Just a quick warning, turns out Dyson Powerball Cleaner is not what I thought it was. Lynn says, I can't say where I am. I work in a small village, but I hate working in a shop during Bad Joke Tuesday. I'm usually so nice to everyone, but when someone comes up to me for those 2 minutes, they just know I wish they would F off. Sorry, yeah.
Just close the shop. That's what the little sign on the door is for.
Shut it down. It's only 2.5-3 minutes. It's worth it, you know? Listen, our Ben Finnegan from Today FM News took a stroll down to the Dáil there a few minutes ago because the bingo protest is in full swing ahead of this planned legislation that will cap the prize money that can be won in bingo halls and all other kind of gambling and lottery stuff like that. But anyway, Ben had a chat to some of the people who are down outside the Dáil. And you can't hear that.
Rose Brennan, player in Jackpots Bingo, yeah.
And how many years have you been playing bingo?
I've been playing there for 15 years.
And what do you fear that will be the result of this new law?
If they close the bingo down, I'm after raiding my kids, I'm after doing my house. So this is my outlet now. Do you know what I mean? I don't drink, I don't take drugs. So bingo is my outlet now. And it's part of my life. I have all my family and friends here with me, as I call me, bingo family and friends. And it just cut the pay. What are we going to do? We're not going to have a bingo hall. So basically, we have to sit in our houses, do nothing.
And it's not as if you're making thousands and thousands.
We don't make thousands. They pay out X amount. But we know when we go in, we're going to get paid X amount. Or somebody's lucky enough to get paid X amount.
And if your prize money in your local bingo hall is cut in half, would it be worth your while going down?
It wouldn't be worth anybody's while. Anyone here, it wouldn't be worth anyone's while going down.
Liz Kavanagh.
And where are you a player?
Star Crumlin.
Is there a lot of anger among players?
Yeah, because there's more going on in the country like than him to cut down on our bingo. He's threatening to close the bingos. And that's all women have an outlet to. They'd be stuck in their homes if they don't get out to the bingo.
And what about yourself? If the bingo hall closes, will you have many other social opportunities?
I can go out for a drink and that. But there is women that only depend on the bingo to get out of the house.
Because you're here, Europe, the final countdown in the background, I can only imagine that Andrew Stanley and the Bingo Loco people have made their way down and they are now currently playing bingo outside the Dáil.
And every granny in Dublin and across the country will be playing Bingo Loco.
Oh, God.
From now on. I mean, it's all about to kick off.
off.
It is a genius marketing ploy to go down and expose these people to Bingo Loco. It could be what they've been waiting for their whole lives.
The thing that strikes me about this whole event is that there is vagueness on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's clear from that and from the people we spoke to today, nobody's quite sure what the implications are. Nobody's entirely sure why the bingo halls will close down if they're saying it's not about the cash pots available. And nobody's entirely sure what the legislation is attempting to do or where the money's going to go.
No.
But there's a big protest happening and there's bingo happening.
It's bingo. People are very passionate about bingo.
I tell you what, lads, like, it's all about perception. You know, there's a lot of people involved in those communities and there are a lot of voters. And if they get it into their heads that the current Fine Gaelers are trying to stop and are close their bingo halls, as that woman said, that's a big deal. That could have an impact. So if I was government, I would clean this one up quick, smart.
Very funny. Dermot is off sick today and someone has texted in and says, so eating a full dinner first thing in the morning isn't a good idea then. Yeah, I don't know if you saw my Instagram stories yesterday, we were talking about it on the radio as well. He literally ate like chicken, boiled potatoes, carrots, peas, sweet corn at 8:50 a.m. yesterday, and today he's off with a sore tummy.
I had soup for breakfast this
you
morning.
You did have weird soup for breakfast, Marie. Like, what's wrong? Why are you following his ways? Look at him. He can't even make it into work because he eats the wrong time of the day.
Sometimes cereal just doesn't do it.
Fair enough.
Sometimes you need something meaty.
Someone says, if Dermot is off, does this mean we get Christmas music today? Like, you know my stance on this. I'm looking around the studio at the worried glass. Look.
Dave, I'm not going to stand in your way.
I say yes. Let's play a Christmas song today, but I need to know what one you want to hear. So 087-4100-102. Look, I'm in a bit of a bother, and a lot of people have not heard about this, and some people haven't heard about this, but if you haven't, I'll fill you in very quickly. I decided to buy my wife a Christmas present, which, because, you know, Christmas is coming, and I bought her an unbelievable, futuristic, electronic bin. Yes, you heard it, a bin. So basically, it seals the bags in the bin, so you don't have to touch any of the bag until you literally take it out to throw it in the bin. And then it sends another bag down into the bin so you don't have to like load the bin with a bag. It's the future. You need to touch the lid. You just walk over and wave your hand.
Hang on.
And it opens.
None of this is relevant. You bought her a bin. It doesn't matter what fancy. The bin could hang at the washing. I don't care. You bought her a bin.
But the idea is I'm trying to remove bin gick from her life. Like, that's...
Great, but do it as a... Hey, do you know what I saw online that I think would be really good for the house?
Mm.
This amazing bin that removes bin gick.
I think that would work if it was cheap. It's so expensive, it needs an event around it. Because otherwise she'd go, how much did you spend on the bin? Whereas she can't ask me that if it's Christmas. Do you know what I mean?
I still don't agree with it.
Anyway,
a bin. It's a bin for your wife.
I asked you guys what the worst Christmas present you've ever gotten or given was, and already people are just saying an electronic dustbin. The bin you're getting for your wife, hashtag worst Christmas presents. I was actually looking around trying to prove my innocence. So I looked around the internet this morning to see any other bad Christmas presents, and I found a thread on Reddit which was full of bad Christmas presents, and it made me feel so much better. Like, this one says, Christmas 1993, I was 11. My nana gave me one half of a pool cue and she gave the other half to my then 8-year-old brother and said, see, you can only use it if you two cooperate and share. We did not own a pool table.
I mean, that just screams of, oh God, they're coming over. I didn't buy them anything.
What's in the attic? A cheese and champagne gift set that had the champagne and most of the other goodies taken out. So cheese in a mostly empty box. And then Secret Santa can provide some of the weirdest presents. Someone says, I was once given some yeast, a cucumber, and a pack of Toblerone.
But a lot of people feel pressure around Secret Santa because we have one in the office.
That's right, yeah.
It runs across like 3 floors of staff.
4 radio, so 5 radio stations.
Yeah, so you don't
companies.
Know everyone. So the person that I got, I don't really know.
Yeah.
But look, I just have to take a stab in the dark and mm-hmm. buy them something that I think they're going to like. I keep getting, they do it through this system, like this online kind of, you know, you put everybody's name in and they, the system does the draw itself.
Oh, and then you don't know, but it's kind of like a little mini social network.
Yeah, so you get emailed your name of your person. So that's what I got and that's grand. But there's a little like tab that you can click on that sends your Secret Santa person an anonymous email to say, hey, update your wish list and let us know the kind of things that you're looking for.
Because they don't know what to buy you.
They don't know what to buy you. So I'm getting that once a day. Because obviously whoever's gotten me doesn't know what to get me. But like, it's not a big budget. You know, I there's nothing that I want for like,
maybe this person really wants to impress you. Like, you're a very powerful person, Ria. You know, you stride around the office. You're the producer of the Dermot and Dave show. Oh, you're one of the top dogs. And they're going, oh, God, I just really want to impress Maria and get her the right thing. Maybe they're just worried about that.
For 20 quid.
I definitely won't send any more nudge emails. Actually, look, in fairness, I do have a reputation of being quite a bad Christmas present buyer. Yeah. What's the worst thing I ever bought you?
You buy them all from China. You bought me a spray can of fake snow.
I did, yeah.
I didn't really know what to do with that one. I think it lived in my drawer for a year and then I binned it.
Yeah, that happens a lot of my presents. Last year I got you, you have a little egg maker on your desk. And last year I got you a cute little Japanese egg maker that makes kind of a little hard boiled. You didn't use that either, did you?
I haven't opened it.
How do you even know if it's a good present? It could be the best present ever, even opened.
How
is
it? No, because what it does is, I have to do something with the egg that separates the egg white and the egg yolk, and then it turns the yolk into a different shit, like a love heart or a star. Or
how cool is that?
In the egg. Listen, I don't have the time to be. Anyway, yeah, you wouldn't be great at present giving.
No, and then my missus, in fairness to her, like, she's not innocent in this whole thing of me buying her a bin. In Christmas, I think it was 2013. She bought me a Learn Spanish CD set and an exercise bike. I was like, what? Like, talk about improve yourself Christmas. Like, I get the message.
She was just preempting your New Year's resolutions, maybe.
Man, it was like, that was proper insulting. Someone else says, for Christmas, my mom gave me coupons to a restaurant that had recently gone out of business. An apple wrapped in gold foil.
Oh, amazing.
What is the worst Christmas present you've ever gotten or been given? No, that's the same thing. Gotten or given. You can let us know on 087-4100-102.
My lovely granny once bought me a 5-pack of Knickers for Christmas. I think I was about 7. And look, I'm sure my parents were like, yes, we don't have to buy them now.
Very helpful.
Very helpful.
A 7-year-old does not want a helpful present. Did they even have, like, you know, Disney princesses on them, Brendan?
I don't even know what they look like. I think I just handed them to my mother.
I was mentioning I'm buying my wife a bin for Christmas. There are times, Dave, says Ellie, when being single bothers me. But hearing you bought your wife a bin, I am okay with being single and buying myself a present, which won't be a bin. A bin, Dave, seriously, I have one rule. Household appliances and items are not Christmas gifts unless seriously lusted after by the receiver and not the giver. I just don't think she's just not lusting after because she doesn't know about it. This is the future of bins. Still think it's a good idea. Maria went wandered around the office today to have a chat to people and see exactly what they had gotten as the worst Christmas present ever.
One time my nan gave me a set of really nice plates, but like, I live at home with my parents, so like, what am I supposed to do with that? So they're just in my room.
My auntie one year gave me a Christmas stocking full of books. And I actually hate reading. And my sister's got chocolate, CDs. One of them even got a stereo. And I just got a stocking full of books. So, was not happy. Cried for 20 minutes.
My mum bought me a pair of earrings for Christmas, but I didn't have my ears pierced, so I couldn't use them.
No, but I bought Aoife the worst one ever. First Christmas, I bought her Arnica. She plays basketball and she got bruises, and I meant to buy her more stuff, but I went on the beer down in Galway. And I just bought this little thing of Arnica, thinking it's a little stocking filler, and that's all I ended up with because it was like 2 days beforehand. So I had to go up to her house with just a little thing of Arnica, and all her family were there, and I was like, this is what you're getting for the next lifetime.
The brilliant Stewie Griffin there. What a present. Right, what we got to do here is hit a couple of buttons.
They got
and then
married.
They got married. Yeah, in fairness, she did marry him, so she can't have been that upset about the Arnica. Let's go to Sinead in Longford. Hi, Sinead.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good. Worst Christmas present, were you the giver or the receiver?
I was the receiver of my then boyfriend, who is now my husband, a picture frame of him and his best friend at my sister's wedding.
What? As a present to you?
Yes. And I gave one to him as well. So there's a set of 3 going around somewhere.
What? Like, what was his logic?
really have no idea of that. And that was all I got, was this present of him and his buddy. So, yes, it's pride and place now in our house. So, it's been going around.
Well, and you also married him, just like Stuart's wife, yeah, Eva did.
I know. Well, you're, you know, good for punishment and all that,
yeah. And was he just thinking that, you like, here's a nice picture of me, you'll like this, but I just can't believe it was the only thing.
Yeah, that was the only thing. Now, mind you, he hasn't made enough of this ever since, but, like, nearly 20 years ago now, but yeah.
Still fresh in the memory.
And when you look at it every day when you're walking by it, you still remember that Christmas stuff. That's what you got.
Well, what do you think of my bin for my wife idea? Like, do you think it's the worst idea ever, or is it okay?
No, it's practical, but, like, I hope you have something else with the bin.
I suppose I should make that clear, that the bin is the central, like, is the sun in the solar system of presents, and then around it there are planetary presents that are, like, you know, other things.
I hope it's not bin bags.
They come with a cartridge, so I've had to buy a couple of cartridges to make sure that the bin can last more than, like, a month. So yeah, there are a few cartridges. Oh god, this is going to work out really bad tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, well played. After four kids, now you buy her the bin.
Well, yeah, I don't know. This sounds like my confidence is ebbing away by the minute. Sinead, thanks for that today.
Thanks, Dave. Have a good luck.
Bye. 087-4100-102. You want to get in touch and let us know about the worst Christmas present you ever got or gave. When I was 10, says John, in Sao Paulo. How are you, John, in Sao Paulo? When I was 10... a friend of my mother got me a hat with my full name stitched across the front. I still remember the horror of having to wear it every time she came around. Now, John, if you're in Sao Paulo, does that mean you're Brazilian? Because Brazilians tend to have really long names. I know they go by one, but they do have a lot of names. That would be amazing if it was like five or six different names in the front of a hat. An ex-girlfriend of mine once gave me a heart pressure monitor for Christmas. I was in my mid-20s at the time. Maybe now when I'm turning 40, I could use it. Possibly. Someone else says, my dad's the ultimate Christmas present giver, Dave. He likes practical presents. One year he got me a fire extinguisher for the house in case of emergencies. And the following year got me a fireproof safe to hold all of our valuables. I love them to bits, but oh my God. Right now we're talking about bad Christmas presents, and they are so many. Actually, you know what? Let's go to the phones first. And we'll talk to Jane, who's in Tipperary. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm all right. What's the worst Christmas present you ever got?
Well, about 2 years ago, I thought my partner was actually doing something really exciting for me because he was being very secretive and, you know, kind of building up the whole surprise element of it. And I got a lawnmower. Now, I don't even cut the grass at home. So,
really?
But he kind of then sort of like saw the disappointment in it and said, it's okay, I have another surprise for you.
Oh, excellent.
So it was kind of brilliant. And I got a carbon monoxide alarm.
Jane! I don't feel bad about my bin at all now. So he got himself effectively a lawnmower and got you a carbon monoxide alarm.
Now, don't get me wrong, it's a state-of-the-art lawnmower. It moves on its own and it does all sorts of things, but yeah.
Yeah, you don't want it though.
No.
And do you think he's going to make up for it this year with something really important and nice?
No, he's never been the best for presents. I just thought, I was actually expecting a little trip to Italy that year that I got that. So, you know, I'm at this stage where I kind of don't have high hopes for anything.
No, keep your expectations manageable, I suggest.
Absolutely.
All right, Jane, have a great Christmas one way or the other.
And you, Dave.
See you. Bye. Sarah and Lucan says the worst Christmas present I ever got was a pair of control pants from my stepmother. I was in my late 20s. I love this one from Alex in Cork. She says, I couldn't stand a girl in work. I drew her in Secret Santa. There was a €10 cap on the gift, so I got her a €9.99 one-way Ryanair flight to Newquay. Get out. People are slagging me about the bin, which is probably fair enough. But Siobhan in Galway says, OMG, Dave, brilliant idea of the electronic bin. I would love that as a Christmas present, as putting out the bins is the one job I detest. Great invention. Yes, Siobhan, that's what I'm thinking. I think she's going to go, oh my God, this is actually an amazing present. I'm the only one other than you who thinks that. In fact, Yvonne sent me this message.
Dave, by the way, I suggest you fill the bin with lovely goodies for your wife. Now, that would make it a very interesting present.
Yeah, we'll see. Julie's been on as well.
When I was in college, I was very short of money and could barely afford the essentials. So one Christmas, my mom and dad got me a box of tampons and some vitamins. Best present ever.
I actually think that might be the winner so far. Oh my God, that's amazing. My father-in-law once gave me a Gok Wan set, says Lucy, called How to Look Good Naked. And he gave it to me in front of the entire family, together with a pretend dog, because I'd gotten a real puppy earlier on that year. And then she just puts in four question marks. Jo says, I was 12. I'm the youngest of six in the family. So I got five scarves and a tape of the Wolf Tones. And speaking of rip-off leather stuff, someone says, I once got my brother the new All Blacks jersey. I think it cost me 50 Irish pounds at the time. He got me a fake Calvin Klein belt that he'd bought on a beach in Gran Canaria. I'm still raging. And then there's so many. Worst Christmas present ever is car seat covers when I didn't have a car. Yeah, that's pretty good. And I gave birth on the 23rd of December. Himself went home to spend Christmas with his family in Dublin with our son, who was having his first Christmas, and came to visit me on Christmas Day with nothing. Not even our son. Married 22 years and counting, and yes, I still bring it up. James Bond. There hasn't been a new James Bond movie for 4 years, which is a long time. Maybe not for James Bond movies, it's not. But this is the 25th James Bond, and it's called No Time to Die. And the trailer for it came out yesterday, and the teaser for the trailer came out on Monday. And I don't usually get that excited about teasers for trailers, but I don't know, for some reason I am very excited about this, because it's been so long since we've seen Daniel Craig as James Bond. It's probably going to be his last James Bond as well. And then a lot of the cast who were in the last movie are coming back. So Ralph Fiennes is in it, Naomi Harris, Ben Whishaw, Christoph Waltz, who is the ultimate bad guy. I won't go into too much. I'm sure it's no spoilers and all, but yeah, he's in it as well. And Rami Malek, who of course famously played Freddie Mercury in the Queen movie, is in as the baddie in this one. So I'll give you a quick taste of the trailer, and here it is here.
James Bond, License to Kill, History of Violence. I could be speaking to my own reflection. Only your skills die with your body. Mine will survive long after I'm gone.
History isn't kind to men who play God.
Oh, it just looks so good, Maria. I know.
So good.
You were dying to see this yesterday.
I can't wait. There's a female agent in it.
Yeah, and she's 00. Like, it's rarely, yeah, you rarely get a female 00, but she also does not have any time for James Bond, no, based on the few seconds you see her in the trailer, which is really cool.
He never ages.
Daniel Craig.
What's that about?
Yeah, because you think about it, the first time we saw him was in, was it Lock, Stock or Snatch? One of those, anyway, one of those Guy Ritchie movies.
Yeah.
And like,
He looks exactly the same.
Yeah. 100%.
Scary. Yeah.
But look, he's a brilliant Bond. This might be his last one. This movie's been plagued in its production. Like, we had Danny Boyle on the show telling us about that movie yesterday, which is amazing. And he was supposed to direct this and then couldn't direct it. There were creative differences. So he left, and then a guy called Kari Joji Fukunaga, yeah, I know, I've never heard of him either, but you've watched his stuff, he directed True Detective. And so he came in and directed this Bond movie. So it's due out in April of next year, and I don't know, I just can't wait to see it. It's so exciting. But I got in touch with a chap called Kian O'Driscoll from Dingle, because he worked on the new Bond movie. He's on the phone now. And how long, Kian, were you working on No Time to Die?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to spend 9 months working on it all around the world. So yeah, a lucky experience for me.
Okay, so like, obviously, I assume there are things you can and can't tell us. So I'll try not to ask you anything that you'll get any of us in trouble. But what was your role for 9 months traveling around the world with the new Bond movie?
So I had a couple of various roles over the course of the 9 months. My main one is in the transport department. As you can imagine, a film of that size has a huge crew involved.
Yeah.
So the logistics of just moving them around is massive in itself. I mean, for when main units are there, there's about 500 people around the place.
Wow.
So just moving them around in a place like Jamaica, or even when I was in Scotland. So all of that is a bit of a challenge as well.
So when you're moving that many people, like, are you responsible for the physical movement of them? As in, you go, right, the buses are arriving at 7, everyone's getting, are you like booking hotels and flights and...
No, so there's loads of different departments, and my one was literally that, just getting people on buses and cars and everything else. So with the film crew, everyone will start at a slightly different time. Yeah. And unfortunately, if only we could say there are buses at 9 o'clock and everyone needs to be there, but that never happens, unfortunately. No.
500 people is a lot, or that's a small village you've got to organise.
Oh, it's amazing. And even when there's extras in, I mean, you could be talking well over 1,000 people on set. So just the logistics, everyone from the locations team to catering, just nothing is easy. Everything is big.
The glamour of the film industry, you know, organising the catering truck to get permit parking on a Tuesday in summer, wet and drizzly. Whereabouts around the world did you work on this movie?
So I was in Jamaica for about 3.5 months,
yeah.
And then I was in Scotland for another 2 months, and Italy for about another 2.5-3 months.
Wow!
So yeah, not bad all year.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're getting like beautiful sunny weather in Jamaica, and I presume in Italy, and then you're getting Scotland to rain on you for a little while.
There's a bit of rain and lots of midges, yeah.
Midges,
yeah.
And what's Jamaica like?
Jamaica was stunning, a really amazing country, and yeah, part of the world I'd never seen, so really nice to explore it. And to live there for 3 months as well, I like, really got to know the places, the locals.
Yeah.
So yeah, really good.
That's deadly. Now, to the movie itself, like, obviously your role is a logistical one, but what can you say about No Time to Die, like, if anything?
I can tell you absolutely nothing about the movie, but it promises to be as exciting as all the others, I think. It seems to be typically Bond in that it has all the big exciting stuff that you would expect from a Bond, as you see in the trailer, I think. So,
right.
It promises to be very exciting, I think.
And do you know whether or not it's Daniel Craig's last one?
I don't know. No,
yeah.
I don't know. I listen to the rumours in the newspapers the same as everyone else, unfortunately.
Do you ever get to meet any of the stars? Did you meet Daniel Craig?
Yeah, you'd meet them in passing. I can't say I had close contact with them, but yeah, I was on set most days, so you'd certainly meet them around the place. Yeah,
Daniel, we just put that down and put that machine gun down and get on the bus. It's leaving here in 4 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah, I try not to shout too loudly.
And how did you get into this job?
So I was lucky enough to work on the last three Star Wars movies as well. So when
wow.
they came to Ireland, the first time I was working out on Skellig Michael with them. So my boss was on Michael O'Shea. He has a height safety company down in Kerry.
Okay.
So we were looking after the safety of the crew when they're out in Skellig for the first and second time, and then we were lucky enough to work all over Ireland when they came back the second time. So yeah, it was great. And then we're out in Jordan for the last Star Wars movie. So it was good.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you about the last one, which was The Rise of Skywalker. So again, you know things about this movie that we yet don't know.
I might know one or two little things, but again, I'm not telling you.
Such a devil. And before Star Wars came along, was movies something you had any interest in working in, or is this just something, a happy accident that's happened over the last 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, exactly that. I didn't know anything about the movies and the kind of weird and wonderful world that it is. So just kind of slipped into it. Like I said, we kind of did a small job and then it went on to a bigger one, and now we're kind of traveling around the road in the circus around the world.
Jeez, that's amazing.
So yeah, amazing world to see.
And what are you working on in 2020? Can you give us any details?
No, I don't know yet is the entirely honest answer. There's talk of one or two movies, again, which I can't tell you about, but some hopefully big ones and hopefully in nice destinations around the world.
All right. And then are you going to have that thing when you go and see No Time to Die in the cinema? You will obviously wait for the credits and look for Cian O'Driscoll.
Exactly that, yeah.
What will your title be?
I was assistant transport captain.
Oh, that's good. That is good, because it's unclear exactly what that means. That totally means you could have been responsible for driving DB5s and DB11s, or it means you were really fancy wrangling people onto buses. Like, no one
exactly.
knows what that means.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
That's so good. Right, well, Captain Cian O'Driscoll, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I wish you continued success in 2020, and when we're off air, maybe you might tell us a little snippet or two about the movie. I'll poke you or something.
I'm sure somebody would shoot me.
fair play to you, Cian. Thanks a million for that.
Good talking to you, Dave. Cheers.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
But somebody was saying that James Bond has never been to Ireland in any of the movies, and I did a little tiny bit of quick internet research. And yeah, so somebody has compiled a kind of an infographic of all of the Bonds, starting with Sean Connery, obviously, and working all the way through to Daniel Craig, and has done a map and, you know, highlighted in red all of the colours, all the countries that James Bond has been to. And Ireland is black. He's never been to Ireland. But that's not necessarily true of James Bond in general, because Seamus is on the phone. Morning, Seamus.
Morning, Dave.
Now, you're talking about the book, are you?
I'm talking about the book, yeah.
So what book does James Bond make a visit to Ireland?
In Diamonds Are Forever.
Okay, and where does he go?
He goes to Shannon Airport. I imagine it's because...
yeah. Why wouldn't he? You know, Casablanca, Monaco, Shannon Airport. Hey. Sean's not happy, he's from Shannon.
I don't think the Americans were landing there at the time, so it wasn't an issue.
Okay, right. And so, can you remember the bit in the book? Like, do you remember, is there a reason, particular reason, why he ended up in Shannon?
No, it's quite random. I imagine it's because back then you didn't have direct transatlantics, maybe, or something like that.
Okay. Right, so Diamonds Are Forever, again, I'm hoping to not embarrass myself here, but do you think that was a Sean Connery movie?
Yeah, it would have been a Sean Connery, yes.
Right, but in the movie, he didn't go to Shannon Airport.
No, he didn't go to Shannon Airport, but when I was reading the book, I imagined Sean Connery. Now, you have to remember, it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And he had a meal in the restaurant, and obviously only the high polloi were flying that time because it wasn't fish and chips. You know what I mean?
No, sure. Down in Shannon, there would have been bacon and cabbage and a bit of caviar on top. Yeah. Where are you from, Seamus?
I'm from County Limerick.
You're from County Limerick, right? And yeah. Would you fly in and out of Shannon?
Back in the day, yes, I did quite a lot. Yeah.
Right. Well, then you'd know the beauty of Shannon Airport and why it would be such a perfect setting for a Bond episode.
Yeah, so Ian Fleming must have obviously flown in out of Shannon as well.
Yeah. Right?
You know, because it was random in the book. I mean, it didn't have anything to do with the plot.
Well, Sean, you're our local Shannon man. I mean, do you think Shannon Airport is like, you know, one of those perfect locations for James Bond to drive a tank through?
Look, I can see why they didn't include it in the movie, if I'm being honest. isn't the most aesthetically pleasing airport in the world, but no. I'm sure the food in the restaurant is good.
Yeah, but if you had Mick Wallace and Claire Daly on the tank, would you not be good?
Come on,
that would have made more of an interesting movie plot.
Oh, I would give anything to see Mick Wallace in a sleeveless jersey
climbing over the barriers of the airport.
Seamus, you're a legend. Thanks for filling us in on that today.
No, all the best.
See you later. Bye. 087-4100-102. You want to get in touch like Seamus and Marie did this morning. So apparently, I'm looking here, the people who travel the most, the Bonds who travel the most, Sean Connery only did 16 countries. I say only because Pierce Brosnan and Roger Moore both did 18. But Daniel Craig has got 14, and of course his new movie is out. So will he visit new countries in it?
And he definitely hits loads of different countries in the new one because if you see the trailer, one minute he's in London and the next minute he's on an island which clearly isn't in the UK.
And then he's trapped under ice, which also isn't where the island is. And then he's definitely in some kind of central European city on a motorbike at some point. Look, the trailer's amazing. Go and check it out on todayfm.com. But I think we should start. If there's a campaign to save bingo and it worked, can we not get a campaign to get Shannon Airport in the next Bond movie?
The only thing is, I don't know if there's a restaurant still in Shannon Airport anymore.
But surely there's a BB's Muffins or something like that.
Daniel Craig. W.H. Smith.
Yeah, anything. Today's been a day of discovery. We're talking about the new James Bond movie, No Time to Die. It's coming out in April 2020. We had a lad on from Dingle called Keane, who worked on the movie for 9 months, moving the movie, the people in the movie, the cars, the transport, the trucks, everything, moving them all around the world, Jamaica, Scotland, Italy. Then we heard from someone else who said that James Bond has never been to Ireland. This was news to us. Then it turns out that person was right about the movies, but wrong about James Bond, because in the book, Diamonds Are Forever, Seamus told us from County Limerick that James Bond actually visits Shannon Airport.
Woohoo!
Bit of Googling, I found the passage in the book. So here we go. Bond glanced at the junk in the airport shop, declaring the brass leprechauns ghastly, along with the furry, unwearable tweeds.
How dare he?
Now, when Ian Fleming wrote that in the book, he got a complaint from John G. Ryan Esquire, the commercial division manager of Shannon Free Airport, who said they are in fact known for beautiful Irish linen, woolen goods and famous Irish tweeds, along with German cameras, Swiss watches and French perfume.
Absolutely.
Ian Fleming wrote a reply to that and said he frequently came through Shannon, where flights between the UK and America stopped to refuel. And on his next trip, he would apologise in person for his happy-go-lucky references to the goods on offer in your shops. He did then also say, perhaps by then all the brass leprechauns will be gone. But that's it, James Bond went to Shannon.
Yeah.
Sean's very happy about this.
He looked at some woolen jumpers and, what was the brass what?
Brass leprechauns. They were ghastly, Sean.
I don't ever remember brass leprechaun. They weren't gas either.
In fairness, Ian Fleming was probably writing this in the 1960s. Yeah. And Baz has been on with something very important. Another piece of news for us.
Good morning, Dermot and Dave.
Morning.
Did you know that Shannon Airport was the first to have duty-free anywhere in the world.
Actually, I did know that because my mother worked in Dublin Airport and I worked in duty-free when I was growing up as a teenager every summer. And yeah, very proud that Shannon kicked off the whole duty-free thing. I also worked in a joint venture between Aerinta and Aeroflot in St. Petersburg in their duty-free store in the summer of 1996.
Did they used to do that thing at Dublin duty-free at Christmas where they would open it up and normal people could come in even if you weren't going on a flight?
Ooh, I don't think so.
In Shannon, they used to do it up only up until about, I'd say maybe about 15 years ago. They used to, about the 20th of December, but you could go through to the duty-free in Shannon Airport. It was on a maybe one day a year. Maybe someone will correct me. Maybe you used to do it more often, but they definitely opened up the duty-free. You could go in, buy all the stuff. Now, I think the reason it may have been in Shannon is because a lot of the shops in duty-free we wouldn't have had in the town.
But hang on, that defeats the legal purpose of duty-free, which is...
Oh, someone just texts in, the duty-free thing is happening tonight.
What?
If there was ever a reason to go to Shannon.
Okay, we need more details on this. How can you offer duty-free to people who aren't flying out of the country? That doesn't make any sense.
But isn't there offers there? I think, isn't there not always offers anyway?
Isn't there special, like, you know... travel exclusive size, yeah. And
but hang on, but in order to avail of duty free you have to be traveling, like, you know where they go, no, have you got your boarding card?
No, but there's special things that you can buy in duty free that you won't get in a normal shop.
No, I get all that, but how can they offer them to the public who aren't flying?
But
you don't get duty free
yeah, you just you got to get access to the duty free shop,
but you still pay tax like you would if you were buying it in the shop.
Because you don't you not get duty free if you're flying from from within Europe anyway?
Yeah, there's duty free and there's duty paid. There's lots of confusing things now.
But anyway, look, go to Shannon tonight. Yeah,
more details required.
Get a giant Dairy Milk fruit nut.
All that kind of stuff. Maria bought six of them when we went to London last year.
Yes, I did.
087-4100-102 if you can enlighten us any further than this.
We've got someone we want to talk to in studio, and we're going to do that in a sec, but just a quick question while Maria's out of this studio.
Right, yeah.
I had a sexy dream about Maria.
Oh, Jesus.
Should I tell her or
no,
not?
No! You shouldn't even tell me. And you certainly shouldn't be telling the nation.
Well, like, I find it funny. Like,
yeah, it's hilarious.
What's the protocol with telling your work colleagues? You're like, hey, I had a sexy dream about you last night. You just know.
No!
Like, I'll put it to the vote. 087-4100-102. Should I tell Maria in a few minutes that I had a sexy dream about her?
She is engaged to be married. You are married.
Yeah, like, but this is in a virtual world.
No.
This isn't... You can have that about anybody.
Yeah, but you don't tell them. Like, do you know what I mean?
087-4100-102. Now, to somebody very special who works with us here in Today FM. We've had her on before because she was starting stand-up comedy for the first time.
That's right, Ziz.
Our Ziz, who is the queen of marketing here at Today FM. What's been going on, Ziz? Tragedy has struck.
Firstly, the dream thing. I've had a dream about you. Don't bring that up.
You told...
I couldn't look at him for like a month in work.
But did you tell him?
No, somebody... Alison Healy did.
Yeah, Alison ratted her out. Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't looked at each other in so long.
You can tell your friends, absolutely, but you can't tell the person. Like, I'm getting some awkward tension here now between you two.
Well, Maria is my friend.
No, but she's the person about whom it is. Like, no.
Anyway, this wasn't a dream about me, Ziz. What happened to you?
It was an anti-dream. Our Christmas party is tonight.
Yes, we're dying for it tonight.
Woo-woo. But I always leave things last minute. Always leave things last minute. And my dad and my boyfriend will always say, you've got stuff in your wardrobe, just wear. You've loads of stuff in your wardrobe, it's fine. But I didn't have a Christmas outfit. I knew I didn't, right? I've put on a few pounds last year, so nothing fit. And when I was trying stuff on, I was like, this is horrific. Now,
when you say Christmas outfit, I mean, do you mean like an elf costume? Or do you mean a dress for the party
a
tonight?
A Santa onesie. A dress.
A dress, okay.
I was
going
to treat myself to a dress.
Treat yourself.
I put a bit of money aside to get a little dress for myself. And then yesterday I blindly ran out in a panic because it's the day before.
Yeah.
Found a dress which I was really happy with, tried it on, I was delighted with myself.
Sorry, no lady will let us get past this without asking you, where did you get the dress and what was it?
Zara Hunn. And it was like a sequence kind of flowy t-shirt dress.
Oh, okay.
It was really cool, real disco vibes going on. I was lighter with myself, sent pictures to everyone I knew because this is the one time that I'm going to look well and this doesn't happen a lot. So sent pictures to all my friends, my boyfriend, Fergal in here because he has matching pants for it. So we're delighted we're going to be twinning.
Well, I'm going to be seriously underdressed in jeans and a t-shirt tonight, lads.
It's my death dress. So I went out, got the Lewis with my little bag, delighted with myself, little package. Put it behind me in the seats because on the Lewis there's like a little space for your bags.
That's right, in between the seats, behind the seats, yeah.
Yeah, put it there, then got off the Lewis, checked behind the seat, and my bag was gone.
Robbed.
Robbed. Blindly. Right behind my back.
The perfect sequins t-shirt dress from Zara.
The perfect crime.
So hang on. So what did you have? Did you just have that bag, the Zara bag, or did you have...
I had my backpack and my Zara bag.
And they left the backpack?
The backpack's ugly.
So but it could have a laptop or something in it, or your phone.
No, it just had deodorant. But,
right, well, they didn't know that was my point.
How much deodorant do you carry around? You need a bag.
Worth.
Dealing deodorant.
Oh, no, that's a disaster.
Well, immediately we can probably narrow it down to someone roughly the same size as you.
I hope so. But see, the receipt was there, so they can easily just bring the dress back, say that they don't want it and get the money back.
Also, you're overlooking an option here, Dermot, which is giant... thieving man doesn't have present for girlfriend.
Exactly.
Goes, Sarah, she'll get that. If it's the wrong size, I'll just say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm an idiot.
And my thinking is, because it was so shiny, the person was like a magpie. They saw the shininess
the
and they're like,
sequins.
And went for it.
So
there was like a group of people in that aisle that I was like shimmying past. And I don't know, because there was two gals there right now. I'm not going to...
No, I think we should wildly accuse people that we have no proof of. I think that's
two people. Now, you know the thing on the Lewis, right? You're gunning for a seat. So it's like Hunger Games with seats. And a seat became available. I was standing up with these gals. Yeah. And then a seat became available and I darted towards that seat. So they saw me get on, saw me put my bag behind that seat. Then they saw the person get up and I was straight in there at the seat.
CCTV.
So I don't know whether, yes, I've texted. I've asked for it.
Okay.
Do they actually answer you at those things? Do they check
it
out for you?
But I have to call a phone number to get the CCTV footage, so it'll probably be Christmas 2021 when I get it.
Well, more importantly, what are you going to do about tonight's party? You can't go in your Santa onesie.
No, so it's either this.
Which is a white t-shirt, which in fairness is kind of what I'm going to be wearing tonight, yeah.
Just go as in with Dave as his pair.
Yeah.
The underdressed couple.
Yeah. I don't know. And today is manic. Like there's a lot of appointments happening. There's nails.
Oh, really? Nails, hair.
Hair. There's sideburns. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on.
Wow.
You're
getting the old lamb chops put on.
There's a lot on. So
okay, that Dickensian Christmas look.
I do feel sorry for you. I feel like Dermot and Dave, maybe we should buy Ziz a new dress or something.
No, don't do that.
Oh, we have a dress-up cupboard. No, sorry, to rephrase.
No, I'm not.
We have
wearing
a wardrobe
a
over there. No, not a
I'm
wig.
I'm not wearing Noni's outfit.
Noni's coat Noni's is shawl. Definitely out there. Her shawl.
Noni has a backup shawl. You can wear
backup
that.
Shawl.
Yeah, and
actually, Marguerite Shannon has a short pink skirt there that she left behind last time she was in. I think
Marguerite.
Now we have a fireman's helmet and a panda's head.
I'll take it.
I think we should dress this up. Dermot and Dave should style you and take a photograph. Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
From our dress-up cupboard.
That's our next plan. Ziz, hard luck.
I'm so
I hope you get something sorted for tonight.
I bawled my eyes out when I went home. My boyfriend was like, oh no. Yeah, what do you do? Tea?
What?
A 4-in-1? Like, what do you
Unless I can put it on with a pair of dressy shoes. No, thank you.
Say stuff, that soothes the music.
Say stuff, that soothes the music.
Say stuff, that soothes the music. Right, Dermot may be a little bit under the weather, but that won't stop us.
Ah, nice of you to join me. My name is Bond. James Bond. And this is my Love Island. Make yourself comfortable. Would you like a martini, shaken, not stirred?
Oh, yeah, James. I'm Maura from Longford. Oh, Jesus, would you get the clothes off here? You're making me nether regions. They're troubling. Oh, Jesus.
What makes the Dublin GAA football team so good? Is it the training? Is it the 7 days a week intensity? Is it the nutrition? No, they have a secret weapon in their dressing room. This guy.
How you doing? I'm Brendan Kilkenny. from the TV ages ago. Do you remember I used to do the high kicks? Brendan Kilkenny. Brendan Kilkenny.
Mr. President, we've got to get you to a safe place. It's not safe here. The bomb has exploded. I repeat, the bomb has exploded. Mr. President, we've got to get you underground. But no, the CIA have been informed and the FBI. We've got to get you to the presidential bunker.
But lads, I'm the president of Nina Golf Club. I think there's been a...
Mr. President, get underground!
Okay, Jesus. Where's... Can I leave my golf bag? Okay, Lisa, you're in the cube. This is your final chance to win the £1,000. Come on, Lisa, come on! Lisa, can you solve the puzzle?
Can I find a friend?
No, that's the wrong quiz. That's Millionaire.
Oh, can I have a beat, please, Bob?
No, that's Blockbusters.
Is it a Stitch in Time Saves Nine?
That's Catch Phrase, you moron.
Hi, Rachel Allen here, all to tell you about my new range of medieval sandwiches at O'Brien's Sandwich Bars. Why not check out our Wild Boar special? Freshly killed wild boar with an arrow, shoved between some freshly baked bread, drizzled in pig's blood, and covered in chestnut pone kine pine cones. Pone kine.
Dermot and Dave. Today FM. Listen back to more from the Dermot and Dave Show on todayfm.com.
Dermot and Dave.
Weekday mornings from 9 on Today FM.